Turn to Romans chapter 1. Brought forth in these verses, which again describes our society very well. Someone has to live in the time period where the Antichrist is ushered in, and we're that people. Everything that's happening, the Antichrist is just preparing for the reign of Antichrist, and we need to understand that. There's no need to get all bent out of shape and all upset about it, because it's a glorious thing. But verse 29, we see verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And this is the final step of God's judgment before His catalytic judgment. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. The reason? To do those things which are not convenient. And we've spent a lot of time on the reprobate mind. It's illustrated every day. You turn on the radio, you read a newspaper, you watch the news. The reprobate mind is everywhere. It's everywhere. I see it in church people. It's everywhere. People have no ability to reason, no ability to think. And then beginning with verse 29, he gives the results, or the consequences of this reprobate mind, and we've been going through these. We come to verse 31, without understanding, which we've looked at, covenant breakers, which we saw last week. And that brings us to without natural affection. This is not the same that we read of in verses 24 through verse 27. Notice verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up. Again, God just handing them over to themselves, to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, because they did these things, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. And then he describes these. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, or contrary to nature, contrary to the natural. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error which was meet or fitting. Those verses, of course, we've already spent much time on those, but they describe homosexuality. What we read here is without natural affection. That's not referring to homosexuality. That's already been dealt with. This is something else. Without natural affection. Three words. Without natural affection. So look at those three words. Without. It means to be destitute of something. It's the absence of something. It is a separation. It is a void. Without. And then you look at the word natural. That is a God-given instinct. It is a God-given disposition, without natural affection. Affection is a feeling of love, a desire towards someone, a love, a care, an attachment to someone. So put these three words together, without natural affection. It means to be destitute, to be void of, not to possess the God-given disposition of love, desire, regard, attachment, and devotion toward those that we ought to naturally love, to be without it. You're void of that. So it is the natural bonds of human affection gone. They're gone. A disregard of natural ties. It is a disengagement toward those that we ought to naturally be drawn to. It is a disrespect, a disregard toward those we ought to naturally love. Your children were born, you loved them, or you loved them even before they were born, but there was a love. It's natural. It's natural. If it isn't, you have a problem. God gives us an instinctive, natural love and care for our children, for our parents, for our siblings. My siblings and I, we really have very little in common other than we have the same parents and we grew up together. They don't approve of my lifestyle, I don't approve of theirs. But having said that, there is a natural affection. There is a love. Without natural affection, without natural. So this is something that goes beyond the natural. It is a different realm. This is in a different realm. It is a different realm than God-given instinct. It is a condition that has left us or left the individual void of that which is God-given by birth, without natural affection. Those are very, very sad words. It's more and more exhibited in our society all the time. It is certainly manifested in abortion, without natural affection. Any woman or any man that does not have a problem with abortion is without natural affection. Plain and simple. You say, well, what if? Let me say it again. They are without natural affection. They're void of it. They're void of it. Abortion is the remedy for those who do not want to be inconvenienced by a baby. It is without natural affection. You take child abuse of all kinds, verbal, physical, doesn't matter. It's a result of without natural affection. You take the abuse of elderly parents and grandparents, once again, without natural affection. Neglect of children, neglect of parents, neglect of grandparents, in the name of, I don't have time, That's not your problem. Time's not the problem. Your problem is without natural affection. Your problem's greater than time. You take all abandonment, whether it be of children, parents, without natural affection. Crimes against children, without natural affection. Crimes against parents and grandparents, without natural affection. And again, if you read the papers, if you watch the news, we could stand up here all day and give example after example. For someone to have a newborn and to just cast it into a dumpster, that's without natural affection. Oh, there's other mental illnesses going on, there's no question. But without natural affection explains the heinous acts against children by their parents, against parents by their children, and by siblings toward siblings. Without natural affection, this is a terrible condition. And it is a result of the God's abandonment. It is a result of God's judgment of abandonment. We've said over and over, you know, you look at an earthquake, you look at a tornado, you look at a hurricane, you look at so-called natural disasters, and people say, that's the judgment of God upon that area of the country. And that may be so, may not be so. But there's something worse than that. And that is the judgment that we read of here in Romans 1, when God leaves a people, leaves them to themselves, to do what they do in their sinful nature, and then to reap the consequences of it. And that's where we are. That's where we are as a nation. That's where we are as a society. It's a terrible condition without natural affection. And it results in great calamity. It results in affliction, distress, and sorrow. In 2 Timothy 3, in verse 1, which is really the parallel to Romans chapter 1, we know that in the last days perilous times shall come, difficult, trying, uneasy times shall come. Hard times, violent times, threatening times, dangerous times, very stressful times, times that are very hard to bear. And then in verses 2 through 5 of 2 Timothy 3, if you just turn over there, 2 Timothy 3, very familiar verses, and we've gone through these at other sections of our Sunday school series, but in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see in verses 2 through 5, you have the results of these perilous times, or what makes a time perilous. And really, the list is very, very similar to what we read in Romans 1. And he says, men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's the first thing he mentions, and everything else flows from that. Men shall be lovers of their own selves is the root cause here. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. There it is again. Without natural affection. But the dominant characteristic of perilous times is men shall be lovers of themselves. And Romans 1 explains that because they disregarded God, they loved the creature more than the Creator. So this without natural affection stems from self-love. So it proceeds from a people so filled with self-absorption, so filled with self-gratification, so filled with self-service, so filled with self-will and self-desire and self-seeking and self-convenience, that they do not have time or concern for those who they ought to just naturally love, those who they ought to naturally care for, those who they ought to naturally have time for. You take the time. It's not a matter of not having time. It's a matter of taking time, because every day has the same amount of time. It's a matter of taking the time. It's a matter of reorganizing your plans, reorganizing your schedule. That can be done. So without natural affection, people who have this or don't have it view those who they ought to naturally love as a distraction. They're a distraction. They're a distraction to their life. They're a distraction to their life of, or their desire to please self. Well, God expects us to love ourselves. But this, men shall be lovers of themselves, goes beyond that. But God does expect us to love ourselves. Matthew 19:19 makes that clear. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So He expects us to love ourselves. This self-love is what causes you to eat. It's what causes you to go to bed. It's what causes you to get out of the way of an approaching truck. Because you love yourself. And that's a natural self-love. But this is something that goes way beyond this natural self-love that we ought to have. This is a love that has no room for anyone else and results in without natural affection. It is a fixation. It is an obsession with self. There are elderly people who have been abandoned by their children. There are children that have been abandoned by parents, and on and on and on we could go. And it falls under this category without natural affection. And again, each one of these results is, verse 29, being filled with. Being filled with. It's present tense. It's ongoing. It just continues to increase. So much so that it becomes commonplace. So much so that it becomes an epidemic. And then it just, again, grows into something else. And the next thing that we come to is that word implacable. Again, something that very well defines our society in our culture, and we'll get to that next week. But again, it all goes back. It is all the result of God leaving a people to themselves. And you follow Romans 1, and you can look at something happen before your eyes, and you can say, well, if you just study the Bible, this is what's going to happen next, because it's a natural progression. This is what's going to happen next. Well, we need to elect so-and-so to office to stop this. You don't understand. You don't understand what God's doing. A politician's not going to stop it. They're not going to stop it. And if you think that, you need to turn your eyes to God and get your eyes off the politicians. The politician's not the solution. God is the solution. And again, I'm going to go off on something here. But again, next week we'll look at implacable. Implacable. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the clarity of Your Word. We pray, Lord, that You would give us deeper understanding each time we open it. Lord, help us. Draw us closer to Thee. Cause us, Lord, to be more like Thee in these days. Pray, Lord, for those that are lost today, that You would open their hearts to salvation, that You would do a miracle of grace in their heart and lives. And we just pray that You'd meet with us this day. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.